You can either work in the business or you can work on the business.
They have the knowledge and the skill to be successful.
Yesterday is gone and tomorrow has yet to come.
Dive all in on the next chapter of your life.
Hello, everybody. This is Greg Alexander, the host of the ProServe podcast, brought to you by Collective 54, the first mastermind community dedicated to the unique needs of leaders of boutique professional services firms. Today, on today's episode, we're going to discuss scaling a boutique ProServe firm. We're going to talk with a member about a new initiative they've launched called the Scaling Task Force, which I can't wait to hear. We're going to kick around a few tools that they're using and discuss how it's going so far. And the purpose in doing so is to maybe give everybody that's listening an idea that maybe a scaling task force might work for them, or at least pieces of it. And maybe that might help you accelerate the rate of scale and improve the probability of success. So we have two Collective 54 people here with us, Andy Thompson and Jeff Weathers. They are with a company called Notch Partners. And why don't I start with you, Andy, and if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and the firm, and then Jeff, I'll ask you to do the same.
Sure, Greg. Thanks for having us. I co-founded Notch Partners in 2002. We work for private equity funds. Our role is to help create transformative relationships between senior executives and our private equity clients. Our mission is to improve their financial returns through better access to deal flow, better analysis of investment opportunities, better value creation planning, and better corporate governance. So you can think of us as a high-end headhunter with a very strong deal focus and private equity focus.
Okay, sounds great. Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, so I've been with Notch almost 8 years now and have a background in investment banking. I lead our business and financial services team, which is one of the five industry verticals at Notch. And I also lead our newly formed scalability task force.
Okay, fantastic. All right, I'll ask a question and I'd love to get both of your answers on it, but, and I'm going to start at kind of 30,000 feet, but maybe to give us some context. So, and Andy, I'll start with you. So what prompted you to focus on scaling your firm at this stage? You mentioned you founded it in 2002, it's 2024.
Yes.
And you put a lot of emphasis around scale right now. How come?
That's right. I bought out my co-founder a year ago. It was a long time coming, and it freed me up to do a number of things with the business that I had been hoping to do. For example, adding equity partners, Jeff being one of them. But I realized as soon as I had the freedom to do what I wanted to do, I realized that the old adage is true. It's lonely at the top. If I were going to be able to transform the business, I needed some guidance. And I wasn't ready to constitute a board of directors yet. I started to look into CEO peer groups, which I had never invested in. I looked at several of them. Collective 54 was recommended. It was the only one that was entirely focused on professional services companies. So I read your book, Boutique, and I immediately recognized that we had a host of scaling opportunities to pursue. I bought five more copies of the book. I gave them all to my senior team. I told them we were in the scaling phase. They probably looked at me like, what are you talking about? They didn't know grow, scale, exit. Yeah. But I said, they were drinking from a fire hose. I said, we're in a scaling phase. I want you to read that whole section of this book. And then I signed myself up for Collective 54 and got to work. For the team, I defined scalability as creating processes that enable and facilitate profitable growth. For a more tangible illustration, I say it this way at the company level. I say, if the world were suddenly to hand us a doubling of our business, meaning a doubling of our client base and a doubling of our staff, which of our processes would break and which would hold steady? The ones that would hold are scalable. The rest need work.
Aaron, I love that definition. That's a great way to look at it. And Jeff, I'll come to you with the next question, which is, since you've been there for 8 years, I'm sure you've been attempting to scale, at least maybe even without knowing that's what you were doing, or calling it that, I should say. What are the biggest challenges, Jeff, in from your perspective, in scaling a small services firm?
Yeah, so one of the big ones I think that we need to think about or starting to think about is getting our colleagues really excited about change. Because when you're scaling a business, you need everybody on board. And there's a lot of apprehension when you say, hey, we're going to make some changes to the company. So what does that mean for us? What did we need to do? So the first thing was communicate. So we decided we need to explain what scalability was, to explain what the benefits would be to the firm, and even how it would improve our colleagues' day-to-day work, how their lives are going to change as we put these processes in place.
Yeah, it always does come back down to the individuals and them asking themselves the question, like, what does this mean to me? Literally day to day, like, how is my life going to change? That's a great way to say it. So I'm pleased that the book is playing a role, and thank you for the kind words on that. I put a lot of work into it. It's rewarding to hear that you got something out of it. And I know that you've recently launched this scaling task force. So I'd love, and Jeff, I understand that you're the leader of that, so I'm going to direct this to you. I'd love for you to kind of tell us what the scaling task force is, who's a member of it, you know, how it operates. Just kind of riff on this a bit for me.
Sure. So the scalability task force, simply stated, was designed to look inside the firm, look at all the ways that we do business with our clients, look at internal processes, anything really, and say, how are we doing this, and is this scalable to make as the business grows? The scalability task force, to start with, we've really been focused on the service delivery part. That's where we felt like we would have the most benefit at the beginning. So what we did is we actually took an employee who'd been with us for several years now, who's an outstanding worker, and we said, look, we want you to be a part of this and be full time. So I'm spending a lot of my time on the task force. She's full time on the task force. And then we took a representative number of employees from across the firm to act as members. We meet on a weekly basis and evaluate different processes we're trying to change and update and improve. And then we also actually, every week at the beginning of the week, talk to the firm about what are we doing? What should you all expect this week? Here are some changes that we think are going to come this month or 2 months from now. Again, trying to make sure that we're communicating to the firm so folks are comfortable with what's happening.
So, Andy, taking a high potential employee and dedicating that person full time, non-billable, I'm assuming, to leading the task force. Boy, that's quite a commitment. How'd you get there?
So Jeff is absolutely one of our top and most experienced players, and he's about half time on it. Then we have a high potential mid-level person full time. In total, we probably have a little over two FTEs out of 30. Look, I wish we had started this stuff years ago. I wish we were not doing some cleanup, but it's time. We have some inefficiencies and missed opportunities that could have been capitalized on much sooner in our evolution. There's no time like the present. We put ourselves clearly on in the scaling phase, but we feel like we're late stage scaling. There are a lot of things that, unbeknownst to us, it was, you know, covered in your book, that we were doing. But when we started doing the math on what the yield impact could be of creating more scalable processes, it's clear to me that this more than pays for itself in a pretty short order. So for me, it was not a hard decision to make.
Interesting. You know, when you express it like that, you know, two FTEs out of 30, it seems like a reasonable investment. But I was on your website and I was looking at some of the bios. I mean, you employ highly skilled people, even at the mid-level, and I'm guessing in my mind what you're paying them. So from a dollars perspective, it's a significant investment. So I just wanted to acknowledge and compliment you for, you know, being willing to make that kind of investment.
I'll tell you this, we're going to be watching closely and tracking our results as closely as we can. We don't have all of the gauges and dials that we need to know exactly the impact day to day. If we had all the time in the world, we would have built more dashboards and more insight before we even started. But we're getting going, and we're going to do our best to track the results because we've got to justify this expense for ourselves.
Yep. Now, Jeff, you mentioned that you started with service delivery. That's interesting. You know, when I've talked to members attempting to scale, and maybe less formally, that I don't know if they're calling it a scalable task force, they usually start with sales. And the reason for that is because they want to be able to measure it. They want to see revenue coming in. And also the founder is usually trying to replace him or herself as the firm's primary rainmaker. But you chose to start with service delivery instead of sales. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into that decision?
So we actually looked through all 17 topics in section 2 of Boutique. And what we did is we said, okay, what's the level of impact of each one and what's the time frame to achieve? Not surprising, business development and pricing were at the top of the list. We actually have been spending a lot of time on business development and pricing over well over a year now. Okay. So to answer your question, they were already underway.
makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yep.
So the next two that we looked at on that list were client experience and yield. And of course, client experiences is really looking how you support the individual client goal, and yield is within the efficiency of how our teams can deliver high impact service to the clients. Those two we decided were, all the areas we had identified and we knew were opportunities, we decided, look, these are by far the next two highest priority, probably behind business development and pricing.
Got it. Very good.
The other reality there, Greg, is that our cost structure is built of service delivery. And we are the premium provider with premium pricing with increasing competition. We need to be really conscious of our pricing to manage our gross margin.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're doing that. It's sometimes people don't focus on pricing enough, and it's a lever that we all have to pull, especially if you're a premium provider. I mean, being intelligent about pricing is so important. So I love the fact, and for those that are listening to this that might not have read the book yet, what they're referring to is section 2 of the book is called the scale section, and there's chapters in there, and they use it as a menu, if you will, to choose the things and to come up with a priority list. And there's a checklist at the end of every chapter that can help kind of eyeball whether or not this topic is of interest to you. So that's a really good teaching for all of us, and maybe a way for those that want to start this similar task force to get started. Jeff, any early results so far? Is it too early? Any even anecdotal stories that would suggest that you guys are off to a good start?
Yeah, it's definitely early in the process. So, we're hoping to see more results to come. But I'd say one of the first things that I noticed is actually an openness from our employees, an openness for them to go out and find scalable opportunities. Because the task force, we can identify, we can try to put processes in place, but we're really going to rely on our employees to look at what they do on a daily basis and say, what can I do to scale the business? Mm-hmm. So there's an openness, and we're excited about that. Second, we're already, even within a couple months, there were some really easy targets to identify. And we're already putting processes in place that are going to help us engage with our clients at a much higher value of service. Yet to be seen how much impact it has, but we're excited to see those through. And then I would say lastly, we came up with a whole list of efficiencies. And what we have to do is rank that list and say, okay, where do we start? And how do we attack it? And so we're doing that, and we're ticking down it. And I think there's plenty of opportunities there as well. So excited about that.
Yeah, I'm pleased to hear the employees are open to it. You know, that's half the battle sometimes with any change initiative is just getting people on board. So congrats on that. I guess, guys, my last question is for both of you, and that is, you know, for those that are listening to this, members that are saying, geez, this maybe is something that I should do. What words of encouragement would you give them, or what would you tell them to stay away from? Like, were there any things that surprised you, you know, as you designed and launched this new initiative?
You won't be surprised at one of the answers. The communication is so important. Just the word scaling, that's new to most people. Yield is new. We were approaching it with a level of transparency that was new. And so we've gone through yield analysis. What does scalability mean? at least two times both of those for the whole company, pretty slowly and carefully, and it came from the top. So I was walking folks through that. We also, I would say, while a task force can be incredibly effective, and we're already seeing some early returns, we look forward to keeping you abreast over the next couple of months. As I said to the team in our annual state of the company, the task force is not going to hand you scalability. They may hand you tools and processes to help you scale, but the scalability happens with you. And so the message to the team, and this is, you'll love this, Greg, the theme for the year is practice scalability every day in every way. Huh. So it is not something that can be isolated with 2.5 FTEs and turned into a little project with announcements every week. It's got to be something that's a way of life across the company.
Interesting. Jeff, anything to add?
No, just very excited. You look at it and you say, look at all the opportunities we have. Look at how much growth we can find. So really excited to see what the results will be.
Right. You know, I would like to add something to this comment, and maybe this is a give back to Andy and Jeff for their generous time today. When I had my firm and I was focused on scaling it, the two measures that we tracked more than any other were the cost to acquire a client. Was it going down or going up? And if we were scaling our business development efforts correctly, then we were more efficient in how we acquired clients. That was one. And then the second was the cost to serve a client. Was that staying at a minimum flat while revenue was increasing? So therefore we saw margin expansion, or was it declining? The cost to serve a client, was it going down and price staying the same? So also a margin expansion opportunity because we were more efficient in how we delivered the service. So I don't know if those are on your scorecards, but I would encourage you both. They're kind of macro numbers, if you will, and there's many submetrics that lead into both of those numbers. But if you think about scalability, what really is it? Scalability in a services firm is this: revenue is growing at a clip faster than headcount. In the end, that's the essence of it. And if you can get revenue growing at a faster clip, maybe it's growing at 25%, but headcount's only growing at 5%, then you're scaling. If revenue is growing at 25% and headcount's growing at 25%, you're really kind of running in place. I mean, you're not necessarily, you have higher revenues, but you're not necessarily earning more, creating more enterprise value for yourself. So just thought I would share that with you guys as a give back, and hopefully that's helpful.
Very much. Thank you.
All right. Well, Andy and Jeff, it was great to have you both. We look forward to you being our weekly role model with the member Q&A session. So thank you for that. And congratulations on your new initiative, for having the courage to launch it. And I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, everybody, that's the end of today's episode. If you want to learn more, go to collective54.com. If you want to read about this book that we just discussed, you can find it on Amazon. Again, it's called The Boutique: How to Start, Scale, and Sell a Professional Services Firm. But until next time, I wish you the best of luck as you try to grow, scale, and exit your firm.